In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks for joining us, and happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, I think.
Happy Friday.
Maybe. Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games, and what's getting me through this week is the HBO show Veep. So ahead of HBO Max launching, I signed up because they had a deal where you could get, like, save a couple dollars from the normal monthly subscription. So I signed up for it, figured, oh, I'll try Max out, see what happens. So of all the shows that I could have watched, like Game of Thrones and Watchmen and all that, I started with Veep because I figured it's something my wife would watch. And I started it, and it's pretty funny, and it's got super crazy awkward stuff that happens, but it's also been kind of funny. So I'm enjoying it so far, and it definitely gets kind of cringy in the sense that, yeah, there's a lot of uncomfortable moments, but still funny, still enjoying it.
I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies, and I watched a lot of movies because what got me through this past week was the Chattanooga Film Festival, which was a film festival down south that it turned virtual because of the coronavirus.
In Chattanooga, maybe?
Yeah, Chattanooga, yeah. And so they did their entire festival, which is mostly like indie sci-fi and horror films and some older stuff. But they did it entirely virtual. So, like, over the entire Memorial Day holiday, it was like a website, and like you could just, it was like a VOD thing, and you just watch whatever you wanted to watch, as much as you wanted to watch for 4 days. And it was kind of fun. I mean, it was not all of them were good. You know, it was a lot of indie stuff, a lot of weird short films and stuff. But I think, you know, something like that, I feel like, who knows what Cannes and Telluride and Venice and Toronto over there, who knows what they're going to do down the line. But like, I think this year having a film festival where like fans can watch it and really kind of get into what it's like to be at a film festival, which is pretty much just watch movies and don't sleep. I mean, I think that I think would help people a lot through this time. So I really liked it, and I hope more people do it.
I'm Kelly Lawler, and I watch television. And what's getting me through this week is I joined this online trivia league called Learned League. My very good friend, Daniel Daddario, who is one of the TV critics for Variety, invited me to join. And it's like very intense and nerdy, and you have to do it every day. It's not multiple choice. There are like really hard questions, and you have to supply the whole answer yourself. And, you know, it's like an honor system of no cheating because you get the questions, like, in an email first thing in the morning, and then you have the whole day to answer them. So, like, you know, don't look them up. And I haven't. And it's been really fun, and it's been really weird. And, like, some of them involve math, and some of them are history, and some of them are about murder hornets. That was one of the ones from yesterday. And I've really been enjoying it. And I am in third place in my little league.
Congratulations. That sounds awesome.
Thank you. In the League of Newbies. I'm sure if I make it out of this league, I will be crushed by seasoned trivia experts because I didn't even like do bar trivia before this. It just seemed like a fun way to spend 5 minutes a day during this. And it has been, although not 5 minutes a day. It takes me a lot longer. These are really hard questions.
So you said you're doing it on your own or as part of a team? And if you are doing it as part of a team, do you have a fun team name?
It's on my own. But we can come up with a fun team name for me, myself, and I, if we so desire.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's really cute. And like the website's like a little old, you know what I mean? It's all a little quaint and not up to date and a lot of text and all that kind of fun stuff. And the league master's pseudonym is Thorsten A. Integrity.
That's cool. I like that. If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. While you're on Apple Podcasts, we would be very pleased if you could write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you'll help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a thank you, we give you a very special shout out on our next episode. For example, thank you to reader Mogadef, that's a cool name by the way, who wrote in response to our episode with Clark Duke, who talked about his new show Arkansas. What the heck, where was the spoiler alert for this episode? For the most part, really enjoy this weekly pop culture podcast. While I don't agree with some of the host's opinions, I eagerly await the weekly drop. So Mogadef, on top of having a cool name, thank you for the review. We greatly appreciate it. So see what happens? It's great. Everybody wins. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. On to the main topic. Here's a clip.
The others. Where are they?
Arthur Curry. The Aquaman. It's on him.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move. Barry Allen.
Whoever you're looking for, it's not me. You're the Batman?
They said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
It has to.
That was from Justice League. Which is one of several movies, TV shows, you name it, that will be on HBO Max, which happens to be the 546th and maybe final streaming service to hit. We never know. With all of HBO.
No, never. No. Peacock's coming in
never,
July.
Never.
Shut your mouth, Brett.
It's all coming.
Oh, that's 547. Sorry. Totally forgot. So HBO Max will have HBO, obviously, plus Friends, Sesame Street, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and a bunch of superhero movies at the click of your Apple TV or your phone or wherever. Just not a Roku or an Amazon device, but anyway. The most interesting news pre-launch, however, is that HBO Max, beginning next year, will stream the mythical Snyder Cut of Justice League that fans have been annoying people on the internet for years about. We're going to talk about
fans,
it.
Fans, in quotes.
Yes. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about HBO Max. Brian, let's start first with Snyder Cut for those listeners who aren't so familiar with the Snyder Cut and what has happened.
Sure. So we know. So Zack Snyder did Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and it all leading to Justice League, which is going to be the big, you know, DC Avengers movie. But during post production, Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide in 2017. And he withdrew from it to be with his family. So they hired Joss Whedon to come in and, you know, pretty much complete the movie. You know, I think he did some reshoots, did some tweaking of the script. But it was not finished by Zack, it was finished by Joss. And there was a lot of, you know, it was fine. I didn't hate it. A lot of people did. But there was always kind of like this thing people talked about over the years, and, you know, internet urban legend almost, that there was all this film stuff that Zack Snyder did, but it just didn't make it into the movie. So then there was like this hashtag release the Snyder Cut became like a thing for several years. And I guess what happened was, you know, Warner Brothers started hearing everybody talking about it. They asked Zack Snyder, hey, do you have enough stuff to like put together a Snyder Cut? And so it was announced last week that apparently, yes, he's going to do a Snyder Cut. The way people talked about it, like their urban legends made it seem like it was like this done thing that like existed. He's shown it to people. All he had to do is like throw it up on a movie screen or something. Yeah. So, it was the whole release the part.
Release
so,
it.
But apparently they're going to give him like, you know, several million dollars to fix things, and like he's getting all the post-production people back that he had, and he's going to, you know, apparently it is not done and he's going to do it, and it's going to come out next year. So, you know, that's pretty much where we're at this point.
So the big question obviously is, do we really need this? I will say this, considering the circumstances prior to him being able to finish the movie, I'm glad as a director for him, that he's able to get an opportunity to finish the movie that he wanted to make and that he had started and everything there. So I appreciate him wanting to do that. And I from that perspective, I'm glad that he's able to do it. So I'm glad he can see his vision through. I don't know. I'm still have reservations. The first thing I thought of when I saw this announcement was, I can't wait to hear which other superhero has a mother named Martha. So, you know, I don't know. I'm going to try to reserve judgment, but I'm still coming off of Batman v Superman, which is the last full Zack Snyder movie we had, related to DC. So I don't know, but Kelly, what do you think? Do we really need this?
I mean, no, I associate the campaign hashtag release the Snyder Cut with some of the less polite and courteous members of the online community, to put it kindly. I just like the idea that fan campaigns and hashtags can drive corporate interests in this way. One, because they're often trolls. They're people who are, you know, a really loud minority who oftentimes are abusive and harassing and trying to get what they want, and who, you know, don't listen to like the truth. And you know what I mean? Like Brian said, they act like there was a thing that Warner Brothers was holding back, that they had this perfect Zack Snyder version of Justice League, and they chose instead to release the unperfect Joss Whedon Justice League. And that is obviously not, in fact, what happened, because he needs, you know, I've seen reports as high as $30 million to do this by next year. So it's just this, like, it's like warping the truth. It's catering to base instincts, and it's making art seem like a consumer product that can be demanded as opposed to something that just comes from artists. The whole thing is gross and kind of skeeves me, and I really dislike it, and I don't want it. And especially on HBO Max, which is the most behemothy of the corporate behemoth streaming services, it just feels excessive and annoying more than anything else.
Brian, what do you think?
I kind of agree with the trolley stuff. I don't know if they win or anything, but I feel like it's something Warner Brothers didn't have to do, and they're doing it as like a publicity stunt for its HBO Max thing. I think they saw a way to like monetize that. That's annoying. I totally agree with you in the fact of like, he did not, you know, circumstances didn't let Zack Snyder finish his movie. I feel like he should be able to finish his movie. That is totally fine. Spending another $30 million on it, though, seems excessive, considering it was probably already like in, you know, over $300 million to begin with. So, and you know, and the fact like them saying it's $30 million means it's probably more than that to make up whatever this Snyder Cut is. So I feel like this has got to be like probably the most expensive movie ever made at this point, or getting close, getting in the ballpark of that record. For what? For a movie that like ain't never going to have a sequel. It was kind of the breaking point of the DC universe, where they were like, okay, enough of this group, let's just do a bunch of standalone stuff. And you know, so we have your Shazam, you have Aquaman, yeah, you know, you're and those kind of have given that universe a new momentum, where it's just like, we don't need to follow the Marvel plan, let's just do our own thing. And so far it's worked. This seems to be like going back to the bad drawing board instead of like moving forward with other things you could be spending money on. And it does bring up other possibilities, like, well, should David Ayer have, you know, the David Ayer cut of Suicide Squad, which I would actually watch, because there's apparently like a lot of like Jared Leto Joker that didn't even make it in. Or, you know, well, how about let's have the director's cut of Rogue One, Or how about like the director's cut of Solo with the original directors? That I would like to see. You know, so it's like there is kind of a domino effect where it's just like it brings up all these other things of like, well, why don't we have these the director's cuts of all these movies that were just kind of like not really big hits? And I think people need to like just kind of put things into perspective and like, okay, if something was like a massive bomb and the director's vision was the reason why it was a massive bomb, then let's figure that out. Or if it was something like something humongously popular and then adding in some extra stuff would like make it even better, maybe. Okay. But just for these middling movies, like Justice League was like just a blip, you know, it really didn't do anything. So why do we need another version of and spending so much money on something that kind of was a non-factor? That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, like two quick thoughts I had. I mean, every time I hear stories like this, the first thing I think of is Mass Effect 3. And that was a video game that came out, I think it was 2013, several years ago. But it had a situation where the last 30 minutes of the game were not great and people got so upset they wanted them to redo the ending. And initially they kind of held fast, but then they decided, okay, we're going to release this thing that kind of alters the ending a little bit. And that sort of planted the seed. And I think with the video games, it was different because it was like a $50, $60 thing that you bought. And so, and in some respects, there, you know, because of other things the games do, people tied the consumer part of it more closely to the artistic part of it. With movies and TV, it's very different because it's all purely an artistic thing. There's no real super consumer servicey thing to a movie or a TV show, an individual movie or a TV series that does that like a video game. And I think that's where some of that comes from. The other thing that gave me a red flag too was Zack Snyder on Twitter posted an image of Darkseid, who is, easiest way to describe it is basically the DC version of Thanos, which, again, Marvel needed 20 to 22 movies to flesh him out and get to that end game. But the point being, are they going to try to cram this whole Darkseid thing into, what, 3-4 hours? In which case, that's a pretty hefty load to have to carry in such a short amount of time.
I don't think it's going to be short.
No, I don't think it's going to be either. It's going to be short.
But even if it's like 5-6-7 hours, is that I don't think that's even enough. There's no way.
But I think you're now seeing, with that, you're seeing what Joss really had to work with, which was like a whole bunch of like probably exposition, you know, what we saw in the movie, just like a whole bunch of like Darkseid business. But like, let's not use Darkseid because it doesn't make sense to use Darkseid yet. You want to like build to him. Whereas probably Zack Snyder was just like went all in at the beginning. And Joss Whedon probably coming from the Marvel model was just like, well, let's pull back and like, let's, he probably did the best he could with what he was working with. And then just kind of like for storytelling purposes, you know, put maybe flesh it out later. And now you're going to see probably like some bad storytelling out of all this, or just kind of like things that don't make a lot of sense. You know, I've liked Zack Snyder's films. The Dawn of the Dead remake was really good. Sucker Punch wasn't totally terrible. Watchmen was pretty good. You know, it looks bad compared to like the TV show, but you know, it was fine. Great opening. But Man of Steel was freaking terrible. It like ruined Superman, and Batman v Superman was better, but it wasn't still like this like mind-blowing thing. It was a step in the right direction, but like, you know, you just see now with Justice League what his version of Justice League would have just been all over the place. And I think we're gonna see that. And I wonder how people are gonna react to that. If it sucks, will people who've like been bitching online for 2-3 years now, will they actually have the cojones to be like, oops, you know, this thing isn't very good? And no. I mean, they're never gonna say it. They're gonna say it's the best thing of all time. But, you know, and it's just like, and it won't be. It'll just be like a 4-hour Frankenstein's monster cut.
So let's jump on to HBO Max, which is going to carry the Snyder Cut in, I believe, 2021. Lots of different stuff to choose from. What's the one thing that you're most looking forward to? I, for one, besides the HBO stuff, I'm actually kind of excited to rewatch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because I love that show. back around high school, college, and so I kind of want to, looking forward to revisiting that again. What are some things that you're looking forward to seeing from HBO Max? Kelly, we'll start with you.
Yeah, HBO Max is very interesting because it comes from the AT&T DirecTV merger. So what you have is essentially you're combining Warner Brothers properties with Turner properties. So Turner is everything from TNT and TBS to Cartoon Network and CNN. So all of that is on there with Warner Brothers films that aren't licensed elsewhere, and then a bunch of Warner Brothers TV shows that they've been able to pry away from other licensing deals, including Friends and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but mostly Friends. That's all I really want you to know about is Friends.
Is Friends going to be on there? I can't tell.
And so it's, I find this service very scary. I don't know why, but it scares me more than the rest of them. Its new offerings are almost beside the point, and they're not great. They've got an Anna Kendrick show that's a complete waste of Anna Kendrick. There is a voguing competition show called Legendary that's kind of controversial. They've got a Elmo late night show because Sesame Street is now an HBO property, but the Elmo show is just on HBO Max, not on HBO. It's, you know, those things. What I'm most interested in terms of the new stuff is that they're doing these new Looney Tunes cartoons that are actually good. And I watched a lot of really classic Looney Tunes stuff on Cartoon Network and Saturday morning cartoons when I was a kid. And that is, there has been a void for a long time of new stuff, especially as Cartoon Network has gone to original programming. And, you know, Disney and Nickelodeon have become so huge. They were already there when I was a kid, but in the time since I was a kid, they've gotten bigger and there are more and more kids' channels than ever. So, you know, that there's this sort of new micro reboot remake trend with the new streaming services in like kids and really little kids programming. Apple TV is doing another Fraggle Rock. We've got this. In terms of the archive stuff, Doctor Who has been off of streaming for almost 6 months because of HBO Max. It was on Amazon, but they took it off because it was going to HBO Max starting May 27th. So I'm excited to have access to that again.
So like Kelly mentioned, I think, you know, there's the original stuff isn't that, you know, it's not groundbreaking at all. I think they're doing what Netflix did originally. It's just kind of like have a bunch of stuff and then delve into the original stuff later, you know. And they've got coffers. I mean, they'll pay for stuff. They've got like some Seth Rogen comedy coming out. They'll be fine. The On the Record documentary is about the Russell Simmons accusers. That's the only thing I really have watched on HBO Max so far. I was watching that earlier today. That's really good. But I think it's going to be an interesting thing because it's a no brainer for anybody who has HBO because everything is all there. Including like Us and like other movies that they in like Ford versus Ferrari soon and like movies that they would play, you know, like premiere on HBO are now streamable and that haven't come to Netflix yet. So you have all that, and then you have like all the TCM stuff, the classic movies, and you have like Kelly mentioned, Doctor Who, Friends, I'm never gonna watch in my life because I hate that show, it's trash. But now I can watch Rick and Morty. I've never watched that show. I've always meant to. I can watch that. So, and then, you know, Westworld, if I finally ever get around to that, I'll watch that. So it is quite burgeoning the amount of stuff here. It's HBO Max. I mean, it really is HBO and like a whole bunch of HBO plus like a Netflix thing. And I feel like if they do start spending the amount of money like that Netflix does, they could come around with some cool original stuff. I know Doom Patrol. I can't remember if Doom. I think Doom Patrol is on there now. Doom Patrol is like the best superhero show on TV. I think the first season's available to stream now. It was on DC Universe. Doom Patrol season 2 is next month, and you know that's going to be really cool. I think once they start putting money into the original stuff, it could be a player. I don't know if it's going to be like Netflix, you know, going for like Oscars every year kind of thing, but you know, it could be like an impressive thing that is worth the kind of the hefty price tag.
Yeah, they have a lot of deals with creators. And I think, like everything else in Hollywood, obviously they're being slowed down by the complete stoppage of production right now. Although stuff that's in really early development that's just being written is probably not being heard all that much because writers can work remotely pretty well. So, but Greg Berlanti is going to start funneling his DC Comics stuff to HBO Max. And this is kind of the first like nail in the CW coffin. But interesting streaming fun fact, the CW DC Comics shows that premiered this season and beyond will be on HBO Max. The CBS CW shows like Nancy Drew go to CBS All Access. The old CW stuff that is under the Netflix deal still goes to Netflix. New CW stuff from Warner Brothers, HBO Max.
Interesting and in no way confusing at all. But
no,
we'll
not
see.
At all.
You need a legal degree to find out where the show you want to watch tonight is.
But pretty much it's somewhere. Whatever show you watch in the world is somewhere at this point.
We haven't mentioned this yet, I don't think. But Big Bang Theory is streaming on HBO Max, and it's never streamed. And it's not my favorite show in the world, but it's a show a lot of people like, and a very easy watching. I think it's a really great time for that show to be available right now.
So let's get to a show. Is there a show that or a movie that you really want to see on the service? One of the reasons why I initially subscribed to it was because I am hopeful that they pull in Batman the Animated Series and the Justice League animated stuff from DC Universe over, because I love those shows. I thought they were fantastic, and I want to really watch them again. Is there any stuff out there that you're hoping ends up on the platform, Kelly?
I think it would be really great to get more classic films, more classic Warner Brothers archival films on there. You know, essentially the rush to bring new streamers to the market came faster than old licensing deals expired, which is why, for example, Black Panther didn't come on Disney Plus right away. It was still in a Netflix deal. So they don't have everything that they could have. And that stuff will start coming, you know, in bits and pieces. And they'll do the same thing with that Netflix does. Like, they're going to tell us every month what's new and what's leaving, although a lot less stuff is going to leave from places like this. And I think as Netflix and Hulu and Amazon focus a lot more on original programming and owning all their content, Warner Brothers and Peacock coming later have these huge advantages that they are old movie studios that have access to old libraries, and Disney Plus too with Fox. And especially without theaters, no repertory screenings. Like, I miss like the old movie experience right now, like really classic stuff. And there's like almost none of it left on Netflix. There's like really good stuff on Amazon and Hulu, and you can get the Criterion Collection. But, you know, for in terms of like the streaming services that are reaching the most people, they're lacking their Casablancas and that kind of stuff. So I want more of that.
Brian, what about you?
What I would like, and I don't know, because when we grew up, I don't think we didn't know who was making the shows, you know. So what I would like to do is have, and whether it's HBO Max or somebody, maybe it's HBO Max just buys a bunch of stuff, but like go back and get Manimal, get like Misfits of Science, get some of this like the weird ass TV shows that we watched. And like put them up there, because I feel like the only places that's like the only thing you can really find. Like, you have to go to like YouTube to find some of this stuff, like that someone pirate copied and, you know, from the VHS. You can still like see the tracking nonsense and like somebody threw up YouTube. I'd like somebody to go back and look for old 80s shows instead. And they have 90s stuff with like Fresh Prince and Friends, but just go back to the 80s. Go find like old shows that they have in their library somewhere that they made, and stick up on here and find new fans. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt to throw stuff up on, you know, on a streaming service this big and see what sticks. You know, if it's just sitting in a warehouse somewhere, or like, you know, it might take some money to digitize it and, you know, that sort of thing. But if you're doing so much of it anyway, just do some more. That's what I'd like to see. I feel like that's kind of, maybe 70s and 80s TV shows are pretty much the one thing that we haven't seen like some like huge streaming splurge on.
The first one that gets control of Night Court, and I'm guessing it's Peacock, whoever gets that show first, it gets all my money right away.
Yeah, just so, I mean, they need to go back and find out who did all of these things. I'm sure they know. I don't. And just put them up somewhere. Like, you know, have people, you know, for old people like myself and Brett, we can, like, watch them, see if they hold up. And, like, and maybe the kids will, you know, they'll have some resurgence when they see, like, Night Court or Manimal and, like, BJ and the Bears. Like, what did you guys watch? Were you on crack? You watched these when you were a kid?
One of the reasons that Friends is still so valuable as a, like, syndicated streaming property is because Gen Z is obsessed with it from watching it on Netflix. There is an opening for some other show to come in and capture younger people's minds. And right now on Hulu, Designing Women, Golden Girls, and Seinfeld are all on Hulu. So that's some homework for you, children.
Yeah, and even when Disney Plus launched, initially, a lot of people gravitated to it for all the classic shows they saw when they were kids. So there's definitely a window there to, like, not just have, like, you know, an earlier generation catch up with the shows that they watched when they were younger, but then also, yeah, the younger kids who are seeing it, and then they'll see it on the platform. You know, my kids are watching a lot of older Disney TV shows now. So it's like that combination is something that a lot of these other platforms really capitalize on. But we'll stop right there. Listeners, it's your turn. Are you going to stream the Snyder Cut on day one? Are you binging the Fresh Prince on HBO Max yet? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, or you can tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
You can also email us. We're at mothershippod at usatoday.com. We'll wrap it up here. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other people find the show, and you get a special shout-out. If Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can also find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Find us. Until next week, nerds out.
Stay inside.
Bye.